Today is Easter.
所以我们讲，如果基督没有复活。
And so our theme would be if Christ was not resurrected.
如果耶稣基督没有复活。
If Christ is not resurrected.
那我们的信仰。
What about our faith?
我们的信息。
Our message.
我们的信念。
Our ideals.
我们的盼望。
Our hope.
是到底变成怎样的一个盼望。
What will become of all these things?
我们的行为，我们的生活变成怎样的行为，怎样的生活。
What about action and our lifestyle?
基督的复活。
The resurrection of Christ.
宗教跟文化不同的地方在哪里？
And the relationship between religion and culture.
这是今天我们要讲的题目。
These are the themes for today.
我们大家一同打开哥林多前书第十五章。
Let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
哥林多前书第十五章，我们就从第十二节一同念到第十九节。
We will read from verses 12 to 19.
翻到了每一个人开声来读。哥林多前书第五章第十五章十二节念到第十九节。我们一同开声来读，既称基督从死里复活了，怎么在你们中间有人说没有死人复活的事？若没有死人复活的事，基督也就没有复活了。若基督没有复活，我们所传的便是枉然，你们所信的也是枉然，并且明显我们是为上帝枉做见证，因为我们见证上帝是叫基督复活的。若死人真不复活，神也就没有叫基督复活的。因为死人若不复活，基督也就没有复活的。基督若没有复活，你们信便是徒然。你们人在这里面，就是在基督里死了的罪的人，也就灭亡了。我们若靠基督，只在今生有指望，就算比众人更可怜。我们再次低头祷告。
Let us pray.
主，我们感谢赞美你，你是真正生命的主，你是把复活显明出来，让人看见你赐生命的权柄的主。我们感谢，我们赞美你。求主今天用你至圣的灵，就是启示先知使徒们写下你圣经话语，活泼的圣言，永恒的道的上帝，光照我们，吸引我们，揭开你的话，发光照亮我们的内心，使我们因为主你自己的真理，我们得着自由，我们得着释放。因为你说你们必要晓得真理，真理必使你们得以自由。我们感谢，我们赞美你。愿主你一位的灵在我们众位的心中工作，你打开我们的心眼，你打开我们的心窍，你赐给我们悟性，给我们以谦卑受教的心领受你的话语。感谢赞美，奉主耶稣基督得胜的名求你，阿们。在初期的教会中间，基督徒认为复活节是最大最大的节日。
In the early church, the Christians consider Easter to be the most important festival.
他们看复活节比圣诞节更重要。
They consider Easter to be more important than Christmas.
他们看复活节比受难节更重要。
Easter more important than Good Friday.
因为如果基督为了爱世界上的人而道成肉身。
If Christ came in the flesh for the people of the world.
虽然他以无罪的生活被钉在十字架上。
Although he was crucified as a sinless person.
还有历史上最伟大的牺牲自我成全别人的爱心。
And he had the love of self-sacrifice for others.
但是如果他死了没有复活的话，
But if there were no resurrection,
基督只能成为人中间最伟大的人而已。
He could just be the best example in humanity.
却没有办法以神的身份来拯救我们这些罪人。
But he would not be able to save us as God.
所以基督的复活在初期教会的心目中间，
And therefore in the early church, the resurrection of Christ,
是基督教之所以能存在世界上真正的本质。
It's the true essence why Christianity could carry on.
基督的复活对基督教的重要性，
The resurrection of Christ is so important.
就等于生命对身体的重要性一样。
It is as important as life to the body.
我们的主如果是生命的主，
If our Lord is the Lord of life,
他一定要胜过死亡才证明他是真的。
He will prove his genuineness by having victory over death.
我们主如果是创造生命的主，
If our Lord is the Lord of life,
他可能借着死来证明自己是超过死的权柄。
He will use death to show that he has victory over death.
所以复活节在初期的教会中间，
And so Easter for the early Christians,
成为整个教会整年中间最大的庆祝，最大的喜乐。
Was a day of great joy and celebration for the entire year.
因为基督从死里复活。
for Christ to be resurrected from the dead.
所以我把这个日子叫做主的日子。
We call this the day of the Lord.
那么门徒离开的旧约里面，在律法中间的规条里面，第七天守安息的规矩。
And the disciples left the tradition of the Old Testament to have Sabbath on the seventh day.
他们就把这个主的分别为圣，成了敬拜上帝、复禀纪念耶稣基督、成了传扬福音的日子。
And they use this seventh day as the day where they observe the Holy Communion and preach the gospel.
这样，因为耶稣基督的复活，整个历史改变了。
The resurrection of Jesus Christ changed history.
因为耶稣基督的复活，圣灵为门徒做的见证，使他们内心的信仰被坚固起来。
The Holy Spirit bear testimony in the resurrection to strengthen the faith of the disciples.
保罗就用反面的词句来思想，要来带领我们思想这个重要的日子。
And the Apostle Paul wants to look at this from a negative angle.
他的基督如果没有复活
，If Christ has not been raised,
我们是信的，是枉然的。
Our faith would have been futile.
基督如果没有复活
，If Christ has not been raised,
我们传的也是枉然的。
Our preaching would be useless.
基督人没有复活
，If Christ has not been raised,
仍然住在罪恶的中间。
We will still be living in sin.
基督如果没有复活
，If Christ has not been raised,
我们完全没有真正的盼望。
We will have no real hope.
我们如果靠着基督，只在今生有指望的话
，If we have hope in Christ only in our lifetime,
我就比众人更可怜了。
We are to be pitied more than all men.
所以保罗在这段的圣经给我们看见
，The Apostle Paul tells us,
基督的复活跟我们的信仰是非常有关系的。
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is very much linked with our faith.
基督的复活对我们基督教的信信息有绝对有关系的。
It has a very important relationship to our message.
基督的复活跟我们的生死、我们永恒的命运有绝对的关系。
The resurrection has a relationship with our eternal destiny.
基督的复活跟我们对永恒的盼望也有关系。
And it is related to our hope for eternity.
所以这四件事情
，all these four items，
我们的信之所以有价值
，the value of our faith，
我们传之所以有能力。
The power of our preaching.
我们可以因为基督的复活得到生命不至灭亡。
The life that we have.
我们是永远的盼望不会失去。
The eternal hope we have.
完全是根据一件事情，耶稣基督从死里复活了。
All these are based on one thing, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
保罗甚至说，如果耶稣基督没有复活
，The Apostle Paul says, if Jesus has not been raised,
那些在主里面睡觉的人，他们都灭亡了。
Those who slept in the Lord will continue to be destroyed.
耶稣基督从死里面复活
，But because he was raised,
所以罪人得到释放。
Sinners are released.
义人靠着主得到盼望。
The righteous have hope by the Lord.
我们信的人得到坚固。
Those of us who believe are strengthened.
传的人得到能力。
The preachers have power.
耶稣基督的复活跟我们整个信徒的生活、侍奉、地位、行为有绝对正面的关系。
The resurrection of Jesus Christ has a positive relationship with the entire lifestyle of a Christian.
如果基督徒没有清楚教导基督的复活跟我的关系是这么重要的。
If Christians do not realize the importance of the resurrection,
我们就过一个垂头丧气，过一个人没有办法挺起身昂首来为主做见证的生活。
We will live a life of defeat and we cannot bear testimony for him.
这样就决定了教会的前途生死存亡的问题。
And it will decide on the future and destiny of the church.
今天我们看见教会有两种的基督徒。
There are two types of Christians in the church.
一种是死气沉沉的基督徒。
The first type are very passive.
另外一种是非常有精神的活力跟随主的基督徒。
The second type are dynamic in their following of Jesus Christ.
里面就分别不同的地方，就在于对基督复活的重要性的认识程度到什么地步。
The difference would be upon their understanding of the resurrection of Christ.
复活这件事情。
The matter of resurrection.
绝对不是文化的产品。
It's not a product of culture.
复活的这件事情
，resurrection
也不是宗教里面的观念。
It's not a religious concept.
人类从亚当到现在产生了多少种、多少几百种伟大的文化
？From Adam to today, there are many, many different cultures.
在这些最伟大的文化的话呢，几十种里面
，Among the many greatest cultures，
我们发现有许多不同的地方。
There are many differences.
他们都停止在一个阶段，停止在一个范围之后，没有办法发挥新的东西出来。
All of them stop at a certain aspect, and they cannot have a breakthrough.
他们停在什么地方呢
？Which aspect is this?
停在知道永恒性是存在的。
They stop at the aspect of knowing that there is eternity.
没有办法找到永恒真正的方向。
But they cannot find the direction to eternity.
这些文化都发现了道德性是存在的。
All these cultures discover the existence of ethics.
他们停止在没有办法找到道德真正的模范跟真正的这个标准。
But they stop at not being able to find the true example and standard of ethics.
这些文化跟这些宗教都发现敬拜性是存在的。
All these ethics, cultures, and religion found this, the importance of worship.
他们停留在把受造之物当作敬拜的对象，而把创造的神撇在一边。
But they stop at the stage where they will worship the created being instead of the creator.
现在我们看见永恒性就失去方向。
And so eternity has lost its direction.
道德性就失去标准。
Ethics has lost its standard.
我们的敬拜性就失去真正的对象。
Our object of worship is wrong.
那我要问，到底谁可以成为我们的方向，成为我们的标准，成为我们真正的对象？
So who is the person that can be our direction and the true object of our worship?
圣经清楚告诉我们，只有一个。
The Bible says clearly only one.
上帝的独生子耶稣基督。
The Son of God, Jesus Christ.
在耶稣基督身上所发生过的一切事情。
All the things that happened within Jesus.
乃是神对人所启示最高峰的顶点。
Was the ultimate revelation of God.
耶稣基督生命中间对我们讲过的话语。
All the words that Jesus spoke to us in his life.
神启示人的真理在文字上最高最高的顶点。
Is the highest revelation of God in words.
耶稣基督在世上所彰显的生活的原则。
Manifestation of the standards in life for Jesus Christ.
人类这个伦理修的最具体的表现。
Is the most pragmatic expression of ethics.
耶稣基督对永恒所赐下的应许。
The promises that Jesus gave us for eternity.
使我们盼望在永恒中间发出去真正不动摇的根基。
Is the true foundation on which we will have hope for eternity.
这位基督凭着什么资格成为我们的方向，成为我们的标准？
But why was this Christ qualified to become our direction, our object? It was because his life in itself was different from all other lives. Only when we are able to find this uniqueness can we build a true foundation. What is the difference between the life of Jesus Christ and that of all other great religious leaders?
神性在他的生命。
And that is in his divinity.
这个神性是神自己所有的本质，所有的本性。
This divinity is an attribute of God.
所以很自然的，这个东西就不可能在别的生命中间表现出来。
Naturally, it cannot be found in other created lives.
耶稣就在他讲过的所有重要的话里面。
Among all the important things that Jesus said,
他曾经讲过的, I am the life and I am the resurrection.
He said, I'm the life and the resurrection.
中文翻译成, 生命在我, 复活也在我。
The Chinese translation says, the life is in me, the resurrection is in me.
我相信这个翻译是经过很久的推敲才这样决定。
I do believe this translation is made after careful thoughts.
我和本一本前后用了20多年，有几十个经学家才翻译成功。
The Chinese translated Bible took 28 years with many scholars participation.
不但如此，被翻译成功的时候是在五四运动以前就已经面世了。
It was done before the May the 4th movement in China.
这几十个圣经学者在努力翻译的中间，最后一个看见这本圣经被印出来的时候，其他的差不多80多个，一共90多人，只有他一个人活在世界上。
But only one person lived to see the publication of this Bible.
他流着眼泪看见最大、最众多百姓的一个中国，竟然有了上帝的圣书翻译在他们的手中。
With tears, he witnessed the publication of the book of the most populous race in the world.
当中国的圣经把所有用过的时间做一个总平均的时候，发现平均每一节圣经只用11个钟头才翻译出来。
On the average, every verse in the Chinese Bible took 11 hours in translation. This was indeed an important task. The foundation was so strong that they didn't take care of the time it took.
要把神的话把它翻得清清楚楚。
The determination was to have a precise translation of the Word of God.
虽然如此，厚厚一本还是照样没有办法逃脱人不可能没有的困难。
Although this was the case, we still cannot escape from human errors in translation.
我们相信和一本最重要的经文的原理都很清楚地放出来了。
But we do believe all the important verses are translated correctly.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
我们中国有这样一本好的翻译的书。
For such a good translation in China.
这是神给我们的恩典。
We know this is the grace of God.
那么在这个圣书里面提到的话语。
The words that we see in this Holy Scripture
都是神要我们知道的永世所传出来的真理
are the eternal truth that God wants us to know.
所以我们应当用最谦卑受教的心智来等候上帝的话发光照耀我们每一个人。
So with a heart of reverence and humility, we wait for the enlightenment of the Word of God.
保罗写哥林多前书第十五章的时候
When the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 15,
他就提到基督的复活的重要性。
He talked about the importance of the resurrection.
现在我要跟大家从各种文化、宗教中间，我们去看见这个基督的复活的重要性到底在哪里。
Let us look at the importance of the resurrection through various culture and religions.
在圣经这个形成的时候
，When the Bible was formed,
已经有几个伟大的文化曾经在这个世界上通行了。
Several important civilizations have already existed.
Sumerian 的文化
The culture of the Sumerians.
Akkad 王国的文化
And the kingdom of Akkad.
巴比伦的文化
Babylonian.
米苏不达米的文化
Mesopotamian.
尼尼微的文化
Nineveh.
这些文化很早就有
All these cultures are ancient.
像汉谟拉比的法版被这个炒出来的时候
When the law tablets of Hammurabi was found.
他们发现差不多主前两千年的时间
It was about 2000 BC
可能比亚伯兰更早一点的时间
Probably a little bit earlier than Abraham
依据了很伟大伟大的道德的概念在里面
There were already great concepts of ethics
已经对交易的商场的这种公正有很严格的要求
There was stern requirement with justice in transactions
人与人之间的关系应该建立在尊重人性的尊严的上面
That relationship ought to be placed upon honor.
所以如果有一个人故意损害别人的身体
And so if a person harm another person physically,
我们要以眼还眼以牙还眼来对待这些作恶的人
The idea was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth.
所以这些文化是很伟大
So all these were great civilizations.
但是可惜这个文化呢中间缺乏一个很重要的事情
But they lack an important thing.
就是没有复活的观念
They do not have the concept of resurrection.
这是所有文化没有办法逃脱的一个限制。
This is the constraint of all cultures.
这些文明都发现人有永恒性。
All of them discover that humanity has a sense of eternity.
因为永恒性的这个看重。
And we all place emphasis on eternity.
人就盼望建立一些不朽的东西存在这个世界上。
And so we build things that we hope are eternal.
所以不朽的东西、不会坏的东西，就变成他们观念的表达。
These are expression of this concept.
这样呢，把永恒跟不朽变成人追求的一个目标。
And humanity seek after eternity and things that will not be destroyed.
就变成里外相应的一件事实了。
It will become a fact that fulfill our inner desires.
为什么从里来讲呢
？What about why do we talk about inner desires?
人心灵的深处就是有永恒性，所以才。叫做上帝的形象样式被造
Because we were made in the image of God with the desire for eternity.
为什么是外面来讲呢
What about externally?
因为人用各样的办法付出许多的代价在人的生命之外要找到这个永恒面对不朽可能达到的状况
Externally, we want to have physical things that will tell us it is possible to reach immortality.
当第二个最伟大的文化产生出来的时候
When the second most important civilization came about,
埃及的文化产生出来
It was the Egyptian culture.
埃及的文化可以说 in search of eternity and in search of immortality 做他们的根本的基础。
埃及文化就是要寻找这个永远，
寻找不朽，所以就永恒跟不朽就成为他们文化最重要的基础。
The immortality, the search for immortality became the most important foundation of the culture.
一个人活在世界上到底几十年而已。
We will live only a few decades in life.
但是他们为了追求永恒的，他们可以为几十年就死的人建立了几千年不会坏的坟墓。
But the Egyptians wanted immortality so hard that they built a grave that will not be destroyed for a few thousand years.
这些建筑不是用草草了事的材料。
And these are not construction that are haphazard.
用最结实的石头。
They use the best stones,
最坚固的材料
the best material,
风雨水 怎么样冲，我们有办法把它消灭掉。
That will withstand the elements.
所以这样的这些金字塔就成了人追求永恒的记录。
The pyramids then became a sign of immortality for us.
一个法老王活在世界上只有几十年。
A pharaoh will live a few decades.
他执政的王朝的时间也不过也有多少年。
And being on the throne would only take a few decades.
为什么为一个只有几十年的人建立了这么大的这一个坟墓？金字塔让他可以在里面安息几千年不受打扰。
Why did they bother to build such a huge pyramid for this person?
这是我小的时候不明白的事情。
This was something I could not understand when I was young.
蒋介石活的时候房子破破烂烂。
When Chiang Kai-shek was alive, his house was a
普通的东西。
A very common house.
他死了替他建立一个蒋中正纪念堂，他从来没有看过。
But when he died, they built a huge memorial hall for him that he has never seen.
大到一个地步呢，几千个人在里面都还够的。
It was so large that it can accommodate thousands.
孙中山先生中山活着的时候，中国穷得不得了。
And Dr. Sun Yat-sen was alive. China was very poor.
1925年3月12号，他这个肝癌死的时候
，When he died from liver cancer in 1923，
我们就决定给他建立一个中山陵，在很高的山上，要爬这个楼梯几百阶，很伟大的地方。
They decided to build a huge memorial for him on the top of a hill.
这些人活的时候知道这样的事情。
When these people were alive, they know about such things.
他一定说不对了，把那些钱拿去帮助贫穷的百姓就好了。
If they had known this, they would ask them to give the money to the poor.
现在你看毛泽东纪念堂。
Now you look at the Mao Zedong Memorial Hall.
林肯纪念堂。
Or the one for Lincoln.
Jefferson 纪念堂。
About Jefferson.
这个太极庙。
The one for 太极。
Taj
Mahal.
还有这个的拿破仑的陵墓。
Out of grave from Napoleon.
都是大到一个地步。
They are all so big.
是普通人根本不需要用的地方。
There are things that the common person will not use.
是一种共同的文化本质。
There is a common element in all this.
来告诉我们心灵的深度，盼望永恒比这现今的暂时要更幸福才对。
It tells us that our inner self wants this eternity and immortality.
埃及人相信死了以后还存在。
The Egyptians believe in life after death.
所以今生是短暂，来生是永恒的。
They understand the present life to be temporary, the eternal life to be forever.
死以后的生命，也就是生命以后的生命。
And the life after death is another life.
And life after death is equal to life after life. 所以这个 life after life 是个 eternal life, immortal life. 所以我们一定要好好保存我们的器官、身体的完整，才能进到永远的幸福里面。
The idea is to preserve the physical body to enter into eternal bliss.
埃及文化就发明了把人成为木乃伊的这一个程序。
So the Egyptians invented mummification.
这个要用几百公斤的香料。
They will use tons of
许多许多的花卉
and a lot of money.
把人把它变成一个木乃伊。
To make someone into a mummy.
这个很烦。非常繁杂的工作
，a very complicated task。
但是人甘愿这么做
，but people are willing to do that。
相信死了不是完的
，they believe that death does not end。
但是这些伟大的完了，就缺乏了死了还会复活的这个可能性。
But they do not have the concept of the resurrection。
所以当我们研究文化的时候
，when we study cultures，
你发现不论是古代或是现代。
Whether it's ancient or recent culture,
不论是西方或者东方
，the West or the East,
虽然都有永恒的表达
，although they have expressions of immortality,
没有复活的观点
，but they don't have the concept of the resurrection.
孔子思想里面不但没有复活的观点
，in the concept of Confucius,
连死是什么也不敢解答
，he doesn't even dare to talk about death.
所以如果有人问孔子的死又怎么样，他的连生都不知道怎么样，还问死怎么样？
If people ask Confucius about death, he said, I don't even know about life.
未知生焉知死。
If I don't know about life, how do I know about death?
孔子的思想只能停在文化的程度，绝对没有资格停到宗教的地步里面。
And so the thoughts of Confucius stop at the level of life.
在中国大思想家像孟子、像墨子、像老子中间，都缺乏了这个永世，还有死后，还有灵魂。还有这个有关于不朽的观念。
All great philosophers and thinkers of China thus did not have this concept of eternity.
更不必讲有什么复活的观念是绝对不可能。
Certainly they would not understand the resurrection.
复活的观念在埃及的文化消灭以后
，After the Egyptian civilization is gone，
他们从来没有发生过。
It has never come back.
这是我们看见在希腊文化里面也没有出现。
We've never seen this also in the Greek culture.
希腊文化有关于人死以后的情形，最重要的思想家叫做 Pythagoras。
Pythagoras was the most important philosopher that understood life after death.
毕达哥拉斯的数学的原理，我们很多人都听过了。
A lot of us understand the mathematics in his name.
毕达哥拉斯的音乐的原理，音乐学院还有人在讨论。
And many people still talk about musical theories from that era.
毕达哥拉斯他的这个哲学的思想，很多人都会知道。
Many people know about the philosophies of Pythagoras.
到了二十一世纪呢，他有一句话变成我们可以马上实验的东西。
In the 20th century, there's a quotation from him that we still use.
宇宙真正的本质就是一个数目。
That the true essence of the cosmos is a number.
所以数目是终极性的这个存有。
The number is an alternate existence.
所以呢，我们现在的看见呢，是数码相机出来了。
And so we see the existence of digital cameras.
你的面孔可以化成数码形象。
Your face can be transmitted into a series of digits.
每一个人都有一个这个手提电话机的时候。
When all of us have a handphone,
你可以用数目跟每一个人讲话。
You can use numbers to communicate.
无论他在巴西或者他在北欧
，That person can be in Brazil or Europe.
手把数目点点点出来，他的声音就跑出来了。
And his voice can, you can get his voice by having a series of numbers.
这是一个广式奇才。
So this person was a great genius.
他不但在数学、在哲学、在音乐上有成就。
He had great achievement in music, mathematics, and philosophy.
宗教上有个很特别的观念，是西方的宗教都没有的。
He also had a very unique religious concept.
就是死了以后从阳间进到阴间。
The concept of Hades.
阴间完了又进到阳间。
And then after Hades, they come back to life.
所以的永恒性是阴阳替换，永远没有结束的一个轮回。
So there is this concept of going from life to the Hades and Hades coming back.
毕达哥拉斯这个思想是不是借用印度中宗教的观念而来的呢
？Was this an Indian concept?
我相信那是毕达哥拉斯从来没有到过印度去。
I believe he has never been to India.
所以这个是东西互相呼应的一件事情。
This was something that is common for both West and East.
毕达哥拉斯的这种轮回的观念。
And this concept of cycling of life
影响希腊两个很大很大的思想家
influenced two very important thinkers in Greece.
一个就是苏格拉底
First one was Socrates.
第二个就是柏拉图
And Plato.
苏格拉底跟柏拉图相信死了不是完了
They both believe that death does not end.
苏格拉底跟柏拉图相信死了还继续存在
They believe there is an existence beyond death.
所以他们都是相信有永恒性的思想家
They all understood about eternity.
不把所有的真理规划在自己理性探讨的范围之内。
They do not think that truth is confined within the reason alone.
因为他们知道生命的永恒性是超过理性的功能。
They believe that life has an eternal essence beyond the reason.
这种哲学家在这一方面的思想已经进到了非哲学而超哲学的宗教的领域里面去了。
So their philosophy has went into the area of religion.
虽然如此，希腊文化照样。还是没有复活的观念。
But Greek culture still did not have the concept of resurrection.
在印度的文化里面也没有复活的观念。
Not so in the Indian culture as well.
在希腊神话里面有复活的这些故事。
In Greek mythology, there are stories about the resurrection.
在埃及法老统治的神话中间有复活的一些事情。
And also in Egyptian mythology.
但是这些绝对与人的生活。没有关系。
But these are not related to the lives of men.
这是神明界的东西。
They considered to be myth.
所以讲当基督教到世界上来的时候
，When Christianity came to the world，
把复活不但当作观念性的探讨
，Resurrection became not just a concept，
把复活显明在现世社会的中间。
But resurrection was something that was real.
耶稣基督在世界上三次不必。这个好像先知为病人祷告的情形，他直接吩咐死人复活。
Three times Jesus resurrected others, not like the prophet, but with direct command.
这已经超越了宗教性，超越了文化性，超越了人的思想理性的功能。
It already transcends religion, culture, and human reason.
当以利亚叫死人复活的时候
，When Elijah resurrected the dead,
站在神。跟死了的人的中间为死人祷告。
He was between God and the dead, praying for the dead.
当以利沙为死了的人祷告的时候
，When Elisha prayed for the dead,
他照样站在神已经死了的人中间 帮助这个死的人向上祷告。
In the same manner, he was between God and the dead, praying for the dead.
这件事在耶稣基督的身上从来没有发生。
But this was not the case for Jesus Christ.
耶稣不会说上帝啊，求你使他复活，显明我是你的儿子。
Jesus Christ did not say, God resurrect this person to show that I'm your son.
求你垂听我的祷告。
Listen to my prayers.
不需要。
No.
耶稣基督三次叫死人复活的时候。
When Jesus resurrected the dead three times.
一次叫雅鲁的女儿复活的，他说：“大利大古米。”换一句话说，我吩咐你起来。
The first time he resurrected the daughter of Jairus, he just commanded her to rise.
第二次他叫这个那应承寡妇的孩子，刚刚死不久要被抬到坟墓去埋葬的时候，路上对他说：“少年人，我吩咐你起来。”
The second time he resurrected the son of the widow in the funeral procession, he just commanded him to rise.
第三次耶稣叫拉撒路复活的时候，站在拉撒路的面前说：“拉撒路出来。”
The third time he resurrected Lazarus, he just commanded him to come forth.
这是个别的。
This was unique.
直接的。
Individually.
以主体对死了的客体吩咐他从死里面复活。
The subject commanding the object to resurrect.
为什么耶稣基督不需要对父祷告？
Why did Jesus not pray to the Father?
是不是他比以利亚比以利沙更爱祷告？
Was it because he doesn't like to pray?
不需要。
No.
因为他自己就是神。
It was because he is God.
所以他以神的权柄吩咐人从死里面呼过来。
With the power of God, he commanded the dead to rise.
这些死人就听他的话。
And the dead obeyed him.
讲今天我们要爱惜我们的信仰。
And so let us treasure our faith.
我们要尊重我们的信仰。
And honor it.
我们要自己 respect, appreciate our own faith.
And respect and appreciate our own faith.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为在我们信仰中间所存的东西是文化宗教的根本。不可能有的东西。
The things we have in our faith cannot be found in human culture.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
我成为基督徒是一件多么好的事情。
It is such a great thing to be a Christian.
基督教的信仰是多么荣耀的事情。
The faith of Christianity is so glorious.
我明白基督教信仰中的真理是何等有特权的事情。
It is such a unique thing to understand the truth in Christianity.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
我们的主从死里面复活了。
Our Lord is resurrected.
他真正得胜了死亡。
He truly has victory over death.
显明他是故意来死，表明他的权柄大过死的权柄。
To show purposely that he has power over death.
耶稣基督从死里面复活。
For Jesus to be resurrected.
是我们基督教信仰最重要的一环。
It is the most important aspect of Christianity.
这就显出他的道成肉身是有目的的。
It shows us that his incarnation has a purpose.
就是特别要到世界上来死，所以道成肉身。
That purpose was for him to die.
因为基督若没有一个血肉的身体，就没有可能为我们被带到死的地步上来。
Without a physical body, it would not be possible for him to die.
因为神是不能死的。
Because God cannot die.
所以神到地上做了人。
For God to come as flesh.
以人的身份进到一个可能被杀死的地步里面。
He then has a possibility of being killed.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
基督从死里复活的这件事情。
The method of the resurrection of Christ.
基督把世界分化成了两半的一个划世代的一件事情。
Segregated the world into two different portions.
从此以后，复活有了一个初熟的果子。
From that time onwards, resurrection has a first fruit.
就是长子得胜死亡，从死里复活，要是许多的人都可以进到。未来的末世里面复活的那个荣耀里面
，The firstborn would be resurrected and have victory over death that all others will follow.
既然我们的信仰与所有的宗教不一样
，The difference between our faith and other faith.
既然我们的主有一个生命的本质是教主所没有的
，Since our Lord has an essence that other religious leaders do not have.
我们应该为这个事情怎样感谢上
？How should we respond in thankfulness?
我们应当为我们有这种信仰怎样欢喜快乐？
How should we respond in joy?
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
我们的主是生命的主。
Our Lord is the Lord of life.
我们的主是故意到世界上来死的主。
Our Lord is the Lord that came purposely to die.
我们的主是借着十打败张世间魔鬼的主。
Our Lord is the Lord that has victory over Satan.
我们的主是因为得胜死亡从死里面复活的主。
He is the Lord that has victory over death and is resurrected.
让就使我们都成为他复活。的见证人
，and so we become witnesses to his resurrection。
这是我们的圣经很清楚记载下来的。
This is clearly seen in the Bible。
今天我们对“见证”两个字的意义
，the concept of the witnessing，
已经沦落在几个大的错误里面。
is already very mistaken today.
第一个，我们所讲的见证是一种行为，是一种原理，是一种侍奉的生活方式。
Nowadays, when we talk about witnessing, we talk about lifestyle.
这是最清楚的偏差。
This is the greatest deviation.
圣经给我们看见的所谓的见证是一个名词，不是一个动词。
The Bible uses the word witness as a noun, not a verb.
You are my witnesses.
你是我的见证人。
你们是我的见证。
You are my witnesses.
这是一个见证人的地位的意思。
In other words, it's a status.
所以我不是到一个台上讲几句话的，我已经为主做见证了。
It's not just going on stage and just share a story.
因为圣经要我们明白的，我们整个人就站在一个见证人的地位为主而活。
The Bible tells us that we ought to live our life as a witness.
要让在见证这个地方的偏差是什么呢？
The second deviation of our understanding.
我们常常见证个人的经历怎么样蒙上帝的恩典。
It that we share experiences of how we are blessed by God.
圣经原来的意思是做主复活的见证。
But the Bible tells us to be witness of His resurrection.
或者做你自己怎样蒙恩的见证而已。
Not just witnesses of how you are blessed by God.
见证的重心是基督是复活的主。
The focus of your witness must be that the Lord is a resurrected Lord.
这就是你基督教对社会主导性的一个信息。
This is the message that we will guide our society with.
我们传一位复活的主。
We preach the resurrected Christ.
我们侍奉一位复活的主。
We serve the living Lord.
我们相信一位复活的主。
We believe in the living God.
在全本圣经中间有几个人，他们有独特的见地。把复活的观念表达出来。
In the Bible, there are few people that has unique experience to understand resurrection.
地位是非常特殊的。
These are special status.
他们超越了所有最伟大的文化学者。
They surpass all the most important thinkers.
他们超越了许多最伟大的宗教的创办人。
They surpass most important founders of religions.
如果我问你，圣经中你第一个对复活有正确观念的人是谁
？If I were to ask you who is the first person that understood resurrection in the Bible,
你们一定很多人对我说是亚伯拉罕。
A lot of you will say Abraham.
我非常表同情，这是对的。
I would agree with that.
但有没有可能有比他更早的人对复活有很正确的观念呢
？Is it possible for others to have this concept?
我认为那是约伯。
I believe Job was.
约伯记很可能在亚伯拉罕以前。
Job was probably before Abraham.
所以从来没有提过以色列族长的这些事情。
And so he never mentioned about the tribes of Israel.
如果约伯是亚伯拉罕以前
，If Job were before Abraham,
约伯记第十九章第二十五节
，Job 19:25，
这就成为人类历史中间第一个最伟大的复活观念的一个表述。
Will become the most important expression of the resurrection.
在那一段圣经中间，约伯讲什么话吗
？What did Job say?
他的最大的痛苦中间
，In the midst of the greatest pain and suffering,
水深火热。被试验差不多没有办法承担的时候
，When he was almost giving up his trials，
他讲这句话，我知道我的救赎主活着。
He said, "I know that my Redeemer lives."
哇吼，他被葬在地上。
And at the end, he would stand upon the earth.
那个他说接下来一句话更可怕，也更伟大。
And then the next verse is more horrifying and grave.
当我这个血肉皮肉灭绝以后
，And after my skin has been destroyed，
我必在我肉身之外看见上帝。
Yet in my flesh I will see God。
这句话的意思是什么
？What does the verse mean？
我今天讲这个话的人
，A person that says this today，
有一天我会死。
One day I will die。
死了以后
，After I die，
我的肉身之外看见我的上帝。
I will in my flesh I will still see God。
我必亲眼看见他。
With my eyes I will see him。
不像外人。
Not like others.
这表示在一生之间面对面亲切的关系到一个很个人性、很个别的关系。
It means that he had a very individualistic love with God.
但是很奇怪的，这件事情中文的翻译跟英文“钦定胆”的翻译是完全不一样。
But it is different from the King James version.
中文是在我这皮肉灭绝之后。
In the Chinese Bible, it says after my flesh is gone.
我肉身之外，我看见上帝。
I will see God outside of my flesh.
英文翻译刚好反过来。
But the English translation is the other way around.
皮肉灭绝之后
，After my skin has been destroyed,
我必在我的肉身之中看见我的上帝。
Yet in my flesh, I will see God.
中文在肉身之外，英文在肉身之内，到底哪一个才是对的
？So which one would be the correct translation?
那一句话的原来希伯来文可以翻译成两种。
In the original Hebrews, it can be translated two ways.
肉身之内呢，或者肉身之外。
It is within and or apart.
这方面，我想，如果在肉身之外看见上帝，是个很普遍的描写。
I believe if you say you see God apart from your flesh, it's very common to say that.
我的皮坏了,
after my body is gone,
我的肉烂掉了,
my flesh is gone,
我觉得肉身之外看见上帝, 这个很容易明白了。
It will be easy to understand that I see God apart from my flesh.
英文圣经这个翻译很特别,
but this is a special translation.
我皮肉灭绝之后,
after my skin has been destroyed,
我必在我的肉身之内看见上帝。
In my flesh, I will see God.
皮肉灭绝了,
after the skin is gone,
肉体已经朽坏了,
the flesh is gone.
怎么可能在肉身之内看见上帝?
How is it possible to see God in the flesh?
莫非他得了一个新的身体?
Unless you have a new body.
他有了一个新的身体,
a new body.
在那个身体里面他亲眼看见上帝。
In this new body, you will see God.
这就表示皮肉灭绝之后, 还有复活的可能。
It means the resurrection is a possibility.
如果这个解释是正确的话,
if this explanation is correct,
就是在人历史中间他是第一个有正确的复活观念的圣徒。
I will believe that Job was the first saint to have the concept of resurrection.
当我们思想我的救赎主活着末了必站在地上的时候,
when we think about how our Redeemer lives and will stand on the earth in the end,
我们会很自然地用我们已经明白的基督论的前世来作为这句话的解释。
We will explain this with our understanding of Christology.
我的救赎主活着,
my Redeemer lives.
耶稣基督复活了,
that Jesus Christ is resurrected.
以后升天的他还要再来,
and then he will come again.
他要站在这个地上,
he will stand upon the earth.
但是再来的基督是复活的基督，他又要审判全世界的意思。
It means that the coming Christ is a living Christ and will judge the world.
但是呢，约伯根本不知道耶稣基督死与复活的事情。
But we must understand that Job does not know Christ.
约伯也没有清楚明白基督升天以后末日再来的这些的启示。
He would not understand the revelation of the coming of Christ.
所以我们要从 约伯当时所领受的、所明白的、能够讲出的话，作为可能性的范围来解释他的话语。
We must explain and look at what Job has written based on what he knew.
约伯说：“我知道我的救赎主活着。”
He said, "I know my Redeemer lives."
这个不是像我们所思想耶稣基督从死里复活的那个活着。
Not the Jesus Christ that we understand.
他知道当社会、当环境、他的遭遇。 已经透顶坏到这个地步的时候,
he knew that when the circumstances is so bad,
有一位救赎他的主是永远活着的,
there will be a God that will live eternally and redeem him.
今天的事情我们没办法讲清楚，没办法转过来，我们在不义中间受逼迫，没有办法自己解救自己的时候,
and in the occasion where we cannot save ourselves in the midst of injustice,
总有一天这位救赎主幕后站在地上施行审判，完全反过来。
One day, this Redeemer will come and judge and bring justice.
约伯所讲的复活不是指基督死以后复活。
So the resurrection of Job is not the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
约伯所讲的复活是指他皮肉灭绝之后，上帝给他预备一个新的身体，可以看见幕后站在地上的耶稣基督。
Job's understanding was that God would give him a new body for him to see the Redeemer.
这句话伟大到一个地步。
This verse is so great.
几乎可以说是前无古人后无来者。
That we can say that is absolutely unique.
因为像他这样的地步，能想到这样深的这个复活的课程，这只有约伯一个人可以承担起来。
Job was the only person who had such in-depth understanding of the resurrection.
但后来我们看见圣经里第二个人有复活的观念。
But a second person had this concept of resurrection.
这个人就是亚伯拉罕。
And this was Abraham.
当我们讲希伯来书第11章的时候，曾经用几次的时间来述说他的生平。
We actually spent a lot of time on Abraham when we were at chapter 11.
当神试验亚伯兰的日子,
on the days of the trial for Abraham,
上帝对他说：“你要把你的儿子，你所生的儿子，你的独生的儿子，你所爱的儿子。” 你的以撒带到摩利亚山上，把它献为燔祭给我。
God wanted him to sacrifice Isaac, his only beloved son.
神不是说把以撒献上，不这样讲。
God did not say just give him to me.
他说你的孩子。
He said your son.
你所爱的孩子。
The son you love.
你的独生子。
Your only son.
你把他献上。
You give him to me.
每一句话像是刀一刺，再刺，刺到他心灵最深最痛的地方。
And so every word would have been painful for Abraham.
这些话是神的命令。
But these are the commands of God.
神是他是绝对相信、绝对顺从的至高者。
But Abraham absolutely obeyed God.
这一次要不要顺服啊？
Does he want to obey this time?
我们很多人顺服神，因为很多很容易顺服的，我们都可以做到。
Many a times you are obedient to God for easy things.
等到不能做到的时候，你就转面孔起来，变成以上帝强辩的思想家了。
But when it is difficult, we will start to debate with God.
如果上帝在大概15-20年前把这个以撒赐给他。
If God gave him Isaac about 15 years ago,
现在突然间把以撒拿回去。
Now suddenly he wanted him back.
这位上帝到底有没有搞错？
What sort of God would this be?
东西给了人还可以拿回去吗？
How can he take back things that he's given to us?
有一次我对孩子都说，约伯说，主啊，赏赐的是你，收取的也是你，你的名字应当被称颂。
Once I told the children that Job said, God, you are the one that give, the one who take away, bless me, your name.
那个时候我最小女儿才大概10岁。
My youngest daughter was about 10 years old.
我们从礼拜堂回家的汽车上。
We were on the way back from church.
她说爸爸爸爸爸。
She said, Daddy,
东西给了人可以不可以拿回来？
Can we take back our gifts?
我说不可以。
I said, no.
给人就给人。
I said, you just give.
我从小就告诉你了。
I thought you
给了人不可以拿回来。
You cannot take back your gifts.
她说我是啊，我是赞成，我是赞成的。
She said, I agree.
爸爸从小讲的我都听到了。
I've heard what you
tell me. 妈妈讲的我也听到了。
I want my mother
told me. 我们东西给人不可以拿回来。
You will not take back our gifts.
但是请问为什么上帝要拿回去？
However, let me ask you why God wants to take it back.
我以为我趁机会在家中语气把他教训一顿。
I thought I wanted to discipline her.
想不到上了一个十岁的女儿的当。
But I was trapped by her.
上帝把孩子十个给了约伯，为什么拿回去？
Why did God take back all the children from you?
上帝给人东西可以拿回去，我给人东西可以不可以拿回来？
So if God did that, I can do the same.
啊，这个很难回答的问题。
Very difficult to answer.
我告诉他，这个跟那个不可同日而语的。
I said you cannot equate the two.
你的万有有一天都要向上帝交账，他是真正万有存在的根源。
God is the true source of the existence of all things.
他有绝对的权威来决定这结束的时候归属应当是怎么样。
He is the only one that has authority and power to decide what will happen.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，
Dear brothers and sisters,
当上帝一次再一次刺进亚伯兰的心的时候，
When God continued to try Abraham,
亚伯兰那个时候应当这样问他，
Abraham should have asked,
你是不是搞糊涂了？
Are you confused?
你亲口对我说，
You have said to me,
从撒拉生的才是你的后代。
The descendant of Sarah will be your son.
你亲自应许我说，
You have promised me.
我要使你的后代像天上的星一样多，像海边的沙那样众多。
My descendants will be as numerous as the stars and the sand of the sea.
为什么你不等我的孩子结婚生了一大堆才拿掉他？
Why do you not wait for my son to get married and have children?
你知道我这个以撒连结婚都还没有。
My Isaac is not married.
你把他拿去，你好意思吗？
Are you not ashamed to take him away?
你许下的应许现在一定达不到。
What happened to your promises then?
因为这个童子10多岁、20岁，他还没有结婚，怎么会生孩子？
The child is not married without children.
那么你为什么要把他拿去？
Why would you want him?
我信你信到今天为止。
My faith in you has stopped.
过去对你的信仰是一个错误。
I may have been mistaken about you.
我对你的顺从是蒙骗。
My obedience was because of deception.
我今天才看见你原来是这样的面目。
But today I see you clearly.
你给我等了一半年再做父亲，我就忍耐的半死了。
Maybe wait for 100 years to be a father.
不让我忍耐另外100年，看见子孙满堂，刚刚10-20年，你要把我的孩子拿去。
But now you want to take my children away, my child away.
我问你，如果你是亚伯拉罕，你的祷告会里面要用什么词句来向耶和华说话？
If you were Abraham, what sort of words would you use for God?
亚伯兰一句不说。
Abraham did not say anything.
你看契诃夫的哲学。
If you look at the philosophy of Kierkegaard,
你会看到他比很多牧师更详细解释亚伯兰献以撒的信心的表达。
He understood the faith of Abraham better than many pastors did.
是很好的一篇解经的文。
It is a very good exposition.
他的切入面和所有的解经家完全不一样。
His anger was very different from most Bible commentators.
亚伯拉的信心，
the faith of Abraham,
回应神的信心，
was a faith that responded to God.
清早起来，
he woke up in the morning.
带着他的孩子，带着仆人就上山去了。
He took his servants and sons.
不是等候，慢慢明白主的旨意才奉献做传道，不是这种人。
He did not wait and understand the will of God first.
神要我今天清早我就来。
Immediately the next morning he went.
我不让我有太多的思想。
He did not think about it too much.
我不让我太多的辩论。
He did not debate it too much.
我要存着顺服者的心跟随你。
With a heart of obedience, he wanted to follow.
所以两个仆人被叫起来了。
And the servants were awoken.
以撒也醒起来。
And the son Isaac.
他们带了柴要来烧献祭。
And they took wood for the burnt offering.
刀要来宰杀祭物。
And he took the knife also.
他们带了绳子要把祭物绑上去。
They took the rope to tie the sacrifice.
一直走走走走。
And they went off.
半山的时候。
In the midst of the
hill. 要不然对两个仆人说，你就停留在这里。
Abraham told the servants to stay.
我与以撒是献祭献完祭，我们再回到这里来。
I will go with Isaac and then we'll come back.
两个人上去了。
And so two went up.
越上越高，越上越冷。
And it was getting colder as they moved up.
突然间，以撒好像睡得很死一样的。
Suddenly Isaac spoke out.
他说呢，爸爸，刀在这里。
He said, Father, here is the knife.
绳子在这里。
The rope is here.
木材也预备好了。
The wood are here.
你要献祭给上帝，你为什么不带祭物来呢？
Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?
亚伯拉罕会不会说，儿子啊，就是你。
The Abraham said, Son, you are the one.
今天我会亲手把你杀下，
Today,
把你杀死献给上帝。
I will kill you and sacrifice you.
这个话就讲不出来。所以我相信，我想着要不然走前几步，眼泪流下，不给孩子看。
I believe Abraham must be weeping and didn't want the son to see.
他说：“哇，这耶和华的山上必有预备。”
He said, "God Himself will provide."
走吧
，Let's go.
走到山上去的时候呢
，In the midst of the
hill, 突然间面孔板起来。
Suddenly he was very stern.
我们住坛。
He said, "We'll build."
坛住了以后呢
，After that,
你上去
，Go up there.
我要把你绑起来。
I will tie you up.
在木材的上面
，On top of the wood.
我把你烧死。
And I will burn you.
我要把你亲自己杀掉。
I will sacrifice you.
刀拿出来。
The knife was taken up.
我相信那个时候呢。这个以撒有足够的力量反抗这个一百多岁的老父亲。
I do believe that Isaac would have been physically strong enough to rebel against his father.
大力推一推，要不然一定不投这段，老人家盖着不够啊。
He could have just made Abraham fall.
但是以撒的顺从是很宝贵。
But Isaac was also obedient.
父啊，你怎么顺服上帝？我顺服你。
I will obey you the way you obey God.
金钱的后代就从这里开始下来。
And here we see a holy descendant.
为父的人怎样敬畏神？
How the father has reverence for God.
不难教导为子的人怎样顺服他？
It would be easy for him to teach his descendants to do the same.
牧师的孩子乱七八糟。
Many pastors' children lead a decadent life.
这次长老的孩子乱七八糟。
All the children of deacons and elders.
追根究底只有一个原因。
Many a times there's only one root reason.
对神侍奉不真心的人，一定没有办法感动自己的子女。
And that is they serve God with an impure heart, so they cannot move their own children.
我从年轻的时候很注意一件事情。
When I was young, I observed this.
反正老神的父母没有好好教导孩子也不要紧，他们自己照样学样。都成为很好的孩子。
A honest parents, even though they may not know how to educate their children well, will have children that imitate them.
反正诡计多端，常常发愁，常常没有造成色的金子带来呢，他们孩子都变成朽木不可雕。
But sly and wicked parents often have children that follow the same way.
为什么许多教育学博士、教育专家孩子教不成？
Many educationists and specialists cannot bring up their children properly.
为什么许多老老实实的乡下妇女，各个孩子变成大器
？But many women from the villages, although they are not educated, they have good
kids. 原因很清楚，很简单。
The reason actually is very simple.
身教是超过言教的。
They teach their children with the examples of their life.
诚实的心就是好好的榜样。
The heart of honesty is the best example.
我们的儿女可以跟着我们走正路。
That our children will follow us in the path of righteousness.
亚伯拉罕献以撒的时候
，When Abraham sacrificed Isaac,
没有听见孩子对他的反抗。
You did not hear a sound of protest.
你听见他对孩子随便欺骗。
Or that he deceived his child.
因为他以敬畏神的态度成为子子孙孙的榜样。
With a heart of reverence, he became the example for his son.
当然，神没有把他的孩子真的拿去。
Of course, God did not take his son away.
神为他预备了一只要献祭的羔羊。
The Lord prepared a sacrificial lamb for him.
上帝要亚伯拉罕把独生子献上，后来没有成功。
And God wanted his son, but the things did not come true.
真正成功的是上帝把他的独生子赐下来。
What came true was God gave his only son.
那亚伯拉罕在献以撒的时候
，When Abraham sacrificed Isaac,
明知道从撒拉生的才是他的后代。
He knew the descendant of Sarah would be his true son.
明知道上帝指点出以撒是独一的儿子。
He knew that God said that Isaac would be his only son.
明明记得上帝应许他成为万族之父。
He also remembered that God was tell him that he's to be a father of all nations.
为什么他把以撒杀死，要献上给上帝呢？
Why was he willing to sacrifice Isaac?
因为亚伯兰相信，这位上帝既然应许，今天就将命令，我把他杀死也不要紧，他一定在我杀了以撒以后，使以撒再复活过来。
Because Abraham believed that God will resurrect Isaac after he's killed.
所以这个伟大的信念就在他的内心的深处。
This great concept was in his heart.
亚伯拉罕成为信心之父。
For Abraham to be the father of faith.
绝对不是偶然的。
It was not a coincidence.
他在生命中间一步又一步，在经历中间一次又一次，显明他有绝对的资格成你我信的父亲。
In life, he showed by example that he qualified to be known as the father of faith.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
Abraham was the father of believers.
他是所有信徒的之父，
有信心之父。信心之人的父亲。
Everyone who has faith, he is the father of
faith. 感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
除此之外，圣经还有一些有很伟大的信仰复活的观念的人。
There are also people with great concept of the resurrection.
包括但以理。
Including Daniel.
等等。
And all these others.
但以理写但以理书第十二章的时候
，When Daniel wrote Daniel 12,
上帝启示了他一面写一面写。
As God revealed, he continued writing.
写了一句话的时候
，And when he wrote something,
就是呢，这些人以后会复活。
He talked about the resurrection.
他不明白很多的事情
，But he could not understand many things.
他就问说：“上帝，那我怎么样
？”He asked God, "What about me?"
上帝说：“你写吧。
”The Lord said, "Just write."
你去休息吧。
And go and rest.
意思写完了，你也可以死了吧。
It means after writing, you can die.
睡在尘埃中间。
You sleep among the dust.
幕后我要使你再起来。
But in the end, I will raise you up.
所以他就留下了这些复活的经文给我们。
And so all these verses of the resurrection were left for us.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
我们的主是复活的主。
Our Lord is the Lord of resurrection.
基督教信仰中间的基督的复活。
When we believe in the resurrection of Christ,
绝对超过了所有的宗教、所有文化里面看望的。
We have believed in the hope that far surpasses all other faith.
现在我只有用很短的时间。
I will use very short time.
最后与大家是讲，如果基督没有复活会怎么样
？To think about what happens if Christ is not resurrected.
一样，如果基督没有复活，律法的咒诅是不能除去的。
The first one would be that the curse of the law would not be removed.
圣经给我们看见有七个很大的罪的定义。
The Bible gives us seven important definitions of sin.
今天我不一个一个提出来。
I'm not going to go through them.
其中一个很重要的就是违背律法就是罪。
One of the most important ones is sin is when we are against the law.
当你违背律法的时候
，When we are against the law,
你就被称为是一个犯罪的人。
We are known as sinner.
所以律法赐下来。要我们知道我们违背的时候我们就在神的审判之下
The laws were given to tell us that when we are against the law we will be judged by God
所以在律法之下我们因为违背了神道我们就受咒诅
Because we are against God we are cursed
这样律法与罪与死就变成三个权柄彼此发生的关系
Law, sin and death are all related to each other
保罗说死啊你的毒钩在哪里
The Apostle Paul says, "Death, where is your sting?"
毒钩就是在罪。
The sting of death is in sin.
罪的权势在哪里呢
？Where is the power of sin?
罪的权势就在律法。
The power of sin is in the law.
律法、罪跟这个死就变成三鼎立分开的这个力量。
The law, the sin, and death are three interrelated things.
一个犯罪的人是违背律法。
A sinner goes against the law.
一个犯罪的人得了死的工价。
A sinner has wages of death.
一个人死是因为违背了律法，受律法控告。
A person died because he's against the law.
所以律法的咒诅临到我们的时候
，When the curse of the law came upon us,
我们没有办法自己拯救自己。
We cannot save ourselves.
但耶稣基督为了我们的缘故
，For our sake.
担当了我们的罪
Jesus Christ took our sin.
他就成为一个违背律法的代罪的人
He became a person that took upon the sin of being against the law.
为我们受了咒诅
And he was cursed for us.
耶稣基督被钉十字架的时候
When he was crucified.
照着律法书里面的定义一个被挂在木头的上的人是一个受咒诅的人
By the definition of the law, he was cursed.
那我们的咒诅就归到耶稣基督身上
And our curse was upon him.
如果耶稣为我们死是一个伟大的牺牲，是个爱的榜样，我们可以佩服他到五体投地。
We can respect Jesus Christ if his death was just a simple example of love.
但是除此以外，什么都没有了。
But other than that, there will be nothing else.
感谢上帝，耶稣从死里面复活以后呢
？But thanks be to God that Christ was resurrected.
律法的咒诅把它解除掉。
And he could get rid of the curse of the law.
我们不要回到律法中间被辖制。
And so we need not go back to the constraint of the law.
靠着基督，我们从律法的咒诅中间被释放、自由出来了。
By Christ, we are freed from the curse of the law.
第二样。
Secondly,
如果耶稣基督没有从死里面复活的话
，If Jesus has not been raised,
上帝的义就不加在我们的身上。
The righteousness of God will not be upon us.
因信称义应当包括两方面
，faith and righteousness justified by faith has two portions.
第一样就是消极的方面
，The first one is the passive part.
第二方面就是积极的方面
，The second one is the active one.
从消极的方面来说，一个人因信称义什么意思呢？
Passively speaking, justification by faith means
上帝宣布他已经不是罪人
that God will announce that we are no longer sinners.
罪的权势和罪的审判就被挪开了
The power of sin is gone.
这不过是消极的一方面
This is passive.
积极的一方面是什么呢
What about active?
上帝的义在基督里加在他的身上
Actively, the righteousness of God is added upon us.
这是罗马书很清楚告诉我们的道理
This is important teaching from Romans.
但是今天我们传统中间的认识，因信称义，就是我不再被称为罪人，我被称为就是一个义人，所以我不需要审判，我也不会灭亡，就是这样。
Our traditional understanding is that we are no longer sinner and we will not be judged.
今天我们如果把一个人从这个陈独生医院把他带出来
，If we remove a person from Tan Tock Seng Hospital,
你宣布他不必因为 SARS 而死了。
And you declare that he will not die because of SARS.
这个就叫做称义。
This is righteousness.
什么称义呢
？What sort of righteousness?
不再是应当隔离的。
He need not be quarantined anymore.
不再是应当被轻看的。
Or be despised.
因为他虽然曾经染上了 SARS 的病
，although he once had the disease.
现在他已经健康了。
But now he's healthy.
所以他不必因为 SARS 死了。
And so he need not die because of that.
不需要再轻看他了。
We need not be afraid of him.
他也不需要被隔离的。
He need not be set aside.
这一件事还是证明他是一个非常健壮的人。
But it is no proof that he is healthy.
你明白了吗
？Do you understand?
不过是证明他没有因 SARS 而死而已。
It just proves that he has not died because of SARS.
还有可能染上别的病吗
？Is it possible that he get other diseases?
还有可能死在别的病中间吗
？Is it possible that he will die from other diseases?
还有可能的。
Possible.
所以这不等于他就是很健壮的意思。
So it does not represent health.
所以你说现在回去了。
So he has gone home.
他已经没有 SARS 了。
He has no more SARS.
你给他吃补。
You give him tonic.
尽量补他。
Hey, more tonic.
补到他越来越健康，越来越健康。
That he will be more healthy.
那个进补，那个加补，那就是上帝把新的义赐给我们的意思。
This is what it means when we say God gave us righteousness.
所以从消极的方面，上帝赦免了我们的罪。
Passively speaking, God forgave us.
从积极的方面，上帝把新的义加在我们身上。
But actively speaking, He gave righteousness upon us.
那么，圣经到底讲这个是什么意思呢
？What does the Bible mean when He says?
圣经说的，耶稣基督为我们的罪被交义人。
Jesus Christ gave Himself to others because of our sin.
第二样。
Secondly,
耶稣基督复活为叫我们称义。
His resurrection gave us righteousness.
所以上帝的义要加在我们的身上。
And so His righteousness is given upon us.
基督的死解决我们的罪的问题。
His death solved the problem of sin.
基督的复活是上帝的义加在我们的身上。
But His resurrection brought us God's righteousness.
第二样。
This is the second one.
第三样。
Thirdly.
如果基督没有复活。
If Christ has not been raised.
那我们的生命，我们的信仰就没有价值。
Our life and our faith has no value.
这就是这节的圣经三次提到的事情。
Three times this portion of the Bible says.
基督如果没有复活，你们所信的是枉然的。
If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile.
基督如果没有复活，我们传的也是空空的。
If Christ has not been raised, your preaching is futile.
基督如果没有复活，你们盼望就是空的。
If Christ has not been raised, your hope is empty.
我们靠基督。只有在今生有盼望，就比众人更可怜。
If only by this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men.
感谢上帝
，Thanks be to God.
将基督的复活
，The resurrection of Christ,
我们信仰的基础
，becomes the foundation of our faith.
基督的复活
，His resurrection,
我们信息的能力
，becomes the power of our message.
基督的复活
，The resurrection,
我们盼望的根基。
Becomes the guarantee of our hope.
因为耶稣复活
，because Jesus was raised.
没有信错
We are not wrong.
因为耶稣复活。
Because he's resurrected.
不必怕传错。
We need not fear. We have a good message.
耶稣基督复活。
Because he's raised.
我不必怕我们的盼望变成落空。
We have confidence in our hope.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
基督的复活跟我们整个的生命跟侍奉有绝对正面的关系。
So the resurrection has a positive relationship with our faith and ministry.
这是第四样。
The fourth thing.
第五样
the fifth one,
耶稣基督如果没有复活
if Jesus has not been raised,
就显明罪是得胜义的
it will show us that sin has victory over righteousness
社会的层次
within the society,
在宇宙的世上
within the entire cosmos,
你看见了这是很危险很可怕的事
you will see this as something very dangerous
如果耶稣基督没有复活
if Jesus Christ were not resurrected,
要神的正义是没有办法得胜罪恶的
It means the righteousness of God has no victory over sin.
请你注意这方面的话语。
Take care of what I'm about to say.
每一个宗教都有某种层次的二元论存在其中。
Every faith has certain element of dualism.
在二元论中间，好的宗教一定是盼望义得胜罪，好的得胜坏的，圣洁的得胜污秽的，这个宗教才有存在历史的价值。
Typically, most faith is this good over evil and the holy over Satan kind of concept.
但这些难道只有在观念中间一种假想的盼望吗
？But are these hope that come about from our imagination?
就是亚当夏娃犯罪以后
，After Adam and Eve have sinned,
他的后代第一次的征战就显明不义的得胜。
The first conflict of their descendants shows the victory of unrighteousness.
所以这个该隐的刀可以随意杀死亚伯。
Cain could kill Abel.
亚伯没有办法反抗，只能死了以后，他的血对上帝哀告，除此以外没有反抗的能力。
There was no ability for Abel to fight back other than his blood.
从那一天开始直到今天。
From that time till today,
我们社会有许多不正义的事情。
We see a lot of injustices in the society.
正义的事情。
Injustice seems to have victory over justice.
败坏的人。
There are many decadent people.
超过那行善的人。
They seem to live a better life than the good.
所以这个世界有法律有什么用呢
？What is the point of laws then?
法院是最讲公义，结果是最不公义的地方。
And the laws are the place that we find injustice.
最近有一个人讲一句话，我感到。非常的被启发出来。
Recently, someone inspired me with what he
said. 他的他不是啊，万事不景气。
He said, Dr. Tong, the times are bad.
每个地方都生意很不好。
Every place is going through bad times.
你知道印尼最近流行很有钱的突然间产生出来。
But you know, in Indonesia, suddenly some people became very rich.
或者自从玛丽爆炸案，旅游业下去，这一个呢，许多的下去，观光事业下去，生意下去，投资不进来。还有人突然发大财，怎么可能呢
？I thought, how can this be possible after the Bali bombing? Everything was bad.
他讲一句话使我很难过。
But he said something that saddened me greatly.
现在行行都失败。
He said now every business is bad.
有一行暴利大发。
Except one doing very well.
我既不能等，就问他是哪一种啊
？So I asked him which one is this.
他说就是法律界的那些律师、法律界的那些法官、那些检察官。都发大财了。
He said the lawyers, the justices in the court, all these inspectors, they're all making lots of money.
为什么呢
？Why？
他们现在比过去更贪污。
Because they are more corrupted than the past.
你诉讼的事情，他不会看黑的讲成白的，白的讲成黑的，只看你的钱多少，他的话就多么有力。
Depending on how much money you give them, they can just say anything and make the truth change.
这些人买了很多的产业，他们买了最贵的金刚钻。这些人的钱财多得不得了。
These people are very wealthy and they bought lots of property and things.
从前的大商人有发财的机会。
In the past, the businessmen are the ones.
现在玩弄法律手段的人有大发财。
But now those who are in the legal trade makes lots of money.
耶稣基督在世界上死的这件事。
The death of Jesus Christ.
是历史上不义胜过义最高峰的一个表现。
Was the ultimate expression of the victory of unrighteousness.
面向耶稣基督这样完美的人，这样最高道德，用双手医治病人，用双脚走遍城乡传福音的人，要死得这样凄惨。
Even such a wonderful and great person like Jesus Christ, who healed so many people, who worked so hard for the people, could die such a tragic death.
耶稣对法利赛人说：“是因为我把真理告诉你们。”你们就因此想杀我。
Jesus Christ told the Pharisees, because I told you the truth, you want to kill me.
亚伯死了。
After Abel died,
他不能报仇。
He couldn't take revenge.
上帝替他讲一句话。
God said something for him.
你的兄弟的血从地里对我诉说。
The blood of your brother is appealing for me.
他虽然死了，因着信仍旧说话。
Although he is dying, he still continues to speak.
神施行伸冤的时候，才把这个该隐把他放住。
And when God had this justice, Cain was banished.
今天许多的事情不是如此。
But this is not the case in the world today.
义人受苦。
Righteous one will suffer.
做好事的人吃亏。
Those who do good things may suffer.
做谎的人大行其道。
But the liars will prosper.
逼迫人的人非凡成大。
Those who persecute others will be wealthy.
诚实做生意的一直亏本。
Those who are honest may lose money.
到处欺骗的发大财。
And those who cheat others always become better.
耶稣基督死的时候。
When Jesus Christ died,
有四大权威定他的罪。
There are four authorities that judge him.
第一是比拉多定他的罪。
The first one was Pontius Pilate.
第二是希律王定他的罪。
Second one was King Herod.
第三是该亚法定他的罪。
The third one was Caiaphas.
第四是多数群众的大的势力定他的罪。
Last one was the crowd.
所以呢，比拉多用什么权柄定他的罪？
With what authority did Pilate judge him?
政治的权柄定耶稣的罪。
He used political power.
所以呢，他知道耶稣是没有犯罪。
Although he knew he was innocent,
照样硬着心把耶稣交给犹太人去审判。
He handed Jesus over to the Jews.
该亚法凭什么定他的罪？
What about the high priest Caiaphas?
该亚法凭着与他宗教意见不同来定耶稣的罪。
He used religious differences to judge Jesus.
希律王凭什么定耶稣的罪？
What about King Herod?
希律王凭着政教之间这个阴谋的这个交合来定耶稣的罪。
He judged Jesus based on his political and religious power.
除此以外，
other than that,
我们看见还有群众定耶稣的罪。
They were the crowd.
把他钉十字架，把他钉十字架。
They said, crucify him, crucify him.
他们因为声音大就得胜了。
Because they were loud, they had victory.
这位真理的主。
The Lord of truth.
这位公义的王。
The King of righteousness.
这位正义之师。
The Man of righteousness.
这位没有犯罪的人子。
This son of man who was completely innocent,
他的错误的政治判断
in a wrong political judgment,
自私的宗教的这个立场
in a selfish religious stand,
在这个只怕发生痛苦危及自己的这种比拉多的权柄之下
under the power of Pilate who was afraid of trouble,
在虚的权柄之下
under the power of Herod,
该亚法的权柄之下
under the power of Caiaphas,
无知的民族百姓的权柄之下
and the ignorant crowd,
耶稣要被定被杀被挂在木头上
Jesus Christ was judged crucified
所以请你听下面这句话
And so take note of this
耶稣如果没有复活
If Jesus has not been raised
就表示这个世界永远没有盼望
It means there will be no hope for the world
不义一定胜过真理
It means unrighteousness will win
感谢上帝
But thanks be to God
耶稣复活了
Jesus was raised
表示不对的政治不对的宗教不对的群众从不对的政教这个苟合的这种的坏人
It means that politics, religion and all this crowd were wrong
一定要被打败下去
That all of them will be defeated
让这世界在法院在宗教界里面在许多错误的社会中间从来没有机会翻身的人因为耶稣基督复活我们有了新的盼望
And because of that all of us who have suffered in unrighteousness will have hope in Jesus Christ
比拉多凭着什么洗一个手他就可以陶醉了
Pilate just washed his hand off his sin.
希律王凭着什么发出一口声音，耶稣就要被定了。
How could Herod judge Jesus Christ?
这一个，该亚法凭着什么让耶稣被交给人去定死
？And how could Caiaphas crucify Jesus Christ?
当他们以为他们最得胜的时候
，At the height of their victory,
第三天
，The third day,
耶稣的复活
，The resurrection of Christ,
这些狐群狗党都是吓得半死。
Immediately must have scared all these people.
基督的复活
So his resurrection
对于基督人来说有救赎的功用
has salvation for Christians.
基督的复活
his resurrection
整个历史来说有最清算的作用
has the idea of judgment for history.
如果耶稣没有复活
if Jesus has not been raised,
就没有盼望
we have no hope.
如果耶稣基督复活了
but Jesus was resurrected.
公义的神一定要得胜
and so the righteous God will be victorious.
最后一样
the last one.
耶稣基督的死
The death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection proved to us that supernatural will one day win over the natural. The morning of his resurrection,
那一块石头滚开了
the stone was moved away.
受造界对创造主的压制。
And that was a persecution of the created being on the creator.
自然对超自然的限制。
The constraint that nature has towards the supernatural.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
我们的主从死里面复活的时候呢
？When our Lord was resurrected,
他让石头滚开了。
The stone was rolled away.
当拉撒路坟墓面前的石头挪开的时候
，When the stone before the grave of Lazarus was rolled away,
主耶稣吩咐他们把石头挪开。
Jesus Christ commanded them to move the stone.
当耶稣基督死以后，他的坟墓面前的石头滚开的时候
，But when the stone in where Jesus Christ was laid rolled away,
是大自然一定要顺服创造的主，这个无声一定要解决的一件事实。
It was nature being obedient to the Creator.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
今天我们的信仰
，Our faith today
已经救到这个地步了。
Should be awakened to such a stage.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
我们的主不在坟墓里面。
That our Lord is not in the grave.
他超越了所有的宗教。
He surpasses all faith.
他超越了所有的文化。
He surpasses all civilization.
宗教的教主，他的坟墓是实实在在有内容在里面。
All religious leaders have a grave with a body in there.
所以跟随他们的人心是空的。
And so all their followers have an empty heart.
但是基督徒不是如此。
But this is not the case for Christians.
主的坟墓是空的。
The grave of our Lord is empty.
所以这位主不在里面。
Our Lord is not in there.
这位主就在我们的心里。
He is in our hearts.
因为耶稣的坟墓是空的。跟随耶稣的人的生命是充充实实的。
And because his grave is empty, our heart is filled.
宗教的教主坟墓是充实的，所以跟随他们的心是空洞。
Because the grave of other religious leaders are filled, their hearts are empty.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
请问复活的主在你心中
？Is the resurrected Lord in your heart?
复活的主与你同在吗
？Is he with you?
复活的主坚定你的信仰
？Is the resurrected Lord strengthening your faith?
复活的主给你看见永远的盼望
？Is the resurrected Lord showing you eternal hope?
复活的主成为你的信息，你。传讲的中心
Is the resurrected Lord the focal point of your message?
愿主今天在我们中间
May the Lord be with us.
施行他复活的大能
And show us the power of his resurrection.
使我们的信仰坚定起来
That our faith may be strengthened.
使我们的见证大有能力
That our witness will have power.
使我们的盼望永不动摇
That our hope will not be shaken.
我们大家站起来
Let us stand up together.